from Hollywood, front and center. The United States Army, in cooperation with the National Broadcasting Company, presents Front and Center, starring your mistress of ceremonies, Dorothy L'Amour.
Dorothy L'Amour reporting. Hello, everybody. Coming up front and center tonight are Henry Russell and the orchestra, the Crew Chiefs Quartet, and our very special guests, Van Johnson and Alan Young. Before we call on them, though, I'd like to start things with a song. Hank, downbeat, front and center. I don't like him, her I don't like too. Do I like anyone? I don't, but I do like you. I don't like milk. Beanie Charm don't like too. I don't like anything that's good for me, but I do like you.
Am I mad? No fun for attitudes has always been unconventional. Am I mad? No, but if you think it is strange, it is conventional.
I don't like him, her I don't like too. I think that I don't even like myself. Maybe silly, but it's true. You're the one exception. I do like you.
Yes, I do like you.
I do like you. Thank you. And now here's a real treat for you. I'd like to introduce a young man who's young today, young tomorrow, and young all the time. Radio's bright young comedy star, says here, Alan Young. Alan, front and center.
Alan Young reporting.
Gee, you're Dorothy L'Amour. I saw you in my dreams last night.
And you're Alan Young.
Well, I didn't think you'd recognize me. All I had on then was pajamas. I hope you don't mind my mentioning it, Miss L'Amour, but that dress you're wearing, it's daring, isn't it?
Yes, it's the new full length. It's the latest thing they're showing on the East Coast.
Yeah, showing a lot in the West Coast, too.
Alan Young, you're embarrassed. Don't you know how to talk to a girl?
No, I haven't had much experience. See, I was an only child. My mother used to make me wear long golden curls and lace collars.
Well, when did you start going out with girls?
Just as soon as I found out I wasn't one. I'll never forget my first little girlfriend. She had braces in her teeth. I had braces in my teeth. I used to love to kiss her in the dark and watch the sparks fly. But now I'm through with women.
Alan, don't you like to go out with girls?
Ah, girls.
Well, I know a girl who'd love to have a date with you.
Ah, date.
It's me, Alan.
Ah.
Wouldn't you like to go out with me?
Ah.
We could take a little stroll in the park. We'd be as happy as two doves in a nest.
Yeah. And I'd look at you and I'd say, "Rrr." And you'd look at me and you'd say, "Rrr." Rrr.
If he lays an egg, I quit.
Now, Dorothy, what's wrong with my lovemaking?
Well, you're behind the times. You've got to be more forceful, aggressive. The James Mason type.
James Mason?
Haven't you seen any of those English pictures that are so popular?
Oh, I never go to see them.
Why not?
Well, it's hard to understand the way they talk. For the first half hour, the dialogue usually sounds something like this. The hero says, Then the heroine says, "See?" Then the hero says,
I scuttled her in a pip in the car. I did a pip. I did on her at a pip.
By the time it's over, everybody's too pooped to give a pip. Whole thing sounds like it's written by F.E. Boone, you know?
But I'm crazy. I'm crazy about James Mason.
Ah, James Mason.
Oh, he's so handsome. He's got such great big soulful brown eyes.
So is my uncle's cow.
He's so dashing. In his latest picture, he runs through the fields and leaps over fences.
So is my uncle's cow. And gives 3 quarts of milk at the same time. But if you like that type, I suppose I can be like James Mason.
Can you really be like James Mason?
Oh, leave me show you, Dottie. The scene is an English manor house. You are Lady Cynthia Chutney. You are eagerly awaiting for the arrival of your husband, Sir James Mason Chutney. Suddenly the door bursts open and you speak.
Oh, James, you're back. My lips have been waiting to press against yours. My soft arms have been waiting to enfold you. Let me hold you close and put your dear head on my shoulder. Come to me, darling. Come to me.
Ah, stop your nagging.
Ah, James, I missed you while you were away. Mm-hmm. Though my body was in England, my heart was with you in Scotland.
Bit of a strain on your girdle, what?
You in Scotland?
I was visiting Lord Bloop Bleep.
Lord Bloop Bleep?
Yeah, from dripping on the sink.
Don't you dare lie to me. Yeah. You weren't out with him. You were with his wife, Lady Bloop Bleep. She told me.
She told you?
Yes.
Curses! She bleeped when she should have blooped.
And you were out with her again, drinking champagne from her slipper. Why don't you ever do that with me?
But I did, I tell you. All last night I drank champagne from your slipper, and you just sat there in your soggy shoes.
You mean you don't love me anymore?
Nah, I don't. It's all over among us. I shall pack my tea bag and leave. Butler to remove my ring from the bathtub.
You'll never leave me. Huh? Do you see what I have in my hand? It's a gun. I'm going to shoot you with this .45.
Can't you wait till the .48s come in? Go ahead, shoot. I am not afraid.
All right.
Ha ha! Missed me twice. I'm going, my darling.
James, what have I done? I've shot you.
Yes, you shot me. It's too late. I'm done for. Look at me, darling. No. Don't move. Let me remember you just as you are this moment. Don't move. Just stand there with the sunlight glinting in your dark hair. Your eyes so soft, so warm. Your lips so cool, inviting. Don't move, my darling. I'm leaving you now. Don't move. Don't move. Ah, you move!
Alan, that was wonderful. Mm-hmm. You see, you're not so shy after all.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, Dorothy, I think I'll take you up on that date we talked about.
Well, how about tonight? I'll be home all alone.
I'll be there at 8 o'clock. We'll hug a little bit and kiss a little bit and neck a little bit. And Dorothy, if I'm not there at 8 o'clock...
Yes?
You start without me.
So long, Alan Young'un. We'll be seeing you around. And now, Professor Hal Gibney, front and center.
Maybe that professor tag is all right, Dottie, because I speak for the biggest school in the world, the United States Army. And I'm out to enroll the very best men in the country out of this year's high school graduating classes. Right now, the Army is educating over 250,000 young men, teaching them cultural subjects on the college and high school level. Many more are getting fine Army technical training in electronics, photography, medical technology, and other specialties. And these courses are fully accredited by most of the nation's big schools and colleges. Think what this can mean to you. You can join the infantry, for instance, for 3 years and use those years to continue your education. And another whopping big advantage is that during those years, you'll get good food and clothing, plus a comfortable place to live, all for free. On top of that, you'll get the highest Army pay in history. Fellas, look into the Army's big educational program. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened to America's young men.
That's a broad statement, but a true statement, fellas. And you owe it to yourself to find out all about it. Go over and get the details from your United States Army recruiting officer the first thing tomorrow. We think one of the high spots of our show each week is the fine music of Henry Russell and his orchestra. Today he's added the crew chiefs to his gang, and they're going to give a new lift to a grand old tune, I Never Knew.
I never knew I could love anybody, baby, like I'm loving you. I could not realize what a pair of eyes and a baby's smile can do. I'm such a mess, just can't sleep. Man, what a shame, I can't even eat. I never knew a single soul could be so sweet. I never knew I could love anybody, ba 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 ba, like I'm loving you.
At ease. Well, folks, now it's time to hear from one of the screen's brightest stars, Van Johnson. Van, front and center.
Van Johnson reporting.
Van, I hear Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer has you doing something different in The Romance of Rosie Ridge.
That's right, Dottie. I play the part of a schoolteacher, a fighting schoolteacher.
Then we're right in character tonight for our sketch. And now, Henry Russell, if you'll give us some appropriate music, we'll have Van Johnson set the scene.
This is about a fighter, a young up-and-coming boxer. It was the night of his most important bout. He was resting on the rubbing table in his locker room. His manager had stepped out to talk to the newspaper men, leaving him alone with his girl. Far off, he could hear the muffled drone of thousands of voices. The fight fans discussing the preliminaries, the semi-windup and the main bout. It was a soothing sound that lulled them. Sue?
Yes, Bob?
What time is it?
Oh, there's plenty of time, dear. Relax.
Okay. Okay. His thoughts went drowsily to the other hours like this. Back to his first fight, then back to the day his father brought him the greatest gift of all. Holy smokes! Gosh, Dad, boxing gloves!
Yep, the regular pro kind. Feel that leather.
Oh, golly, it's smooth, just like velvet.
I'd have given anything for a pair like this when I was a kid.
You wanted to be a boxer awful bad, didn't you, Dad?
Yeah, and I would have been too if...
Oh, but you sure get around for a fellow who...
Well, for a fellow who was Crippled? Oh, I do all right.
I didn't mean that, Dad.
I know, Bob. Here, come on, try on the gloves. Let me help.
Oh.
There.
Gee, they sure fit swell.
Oh, they're great, isn't they? Let me try on the other pair. Mm-hmm. Man, these do something to you, don't they? Now you try to hit me.
Oh, I don't want to hit you, Dad.
Don't be scared. Why, nobody was ever able to lay a hand on me. Come on.
I don't want to hit
come
you.
Come on, come on.
Well, all right.
Dad,
did I hurt you?
No.
You sure?
Sure. This is part of my battle plan. You see, I pound my nose against your fist till you can't take it anymore.
My father was determined to make me the champion of the world. All his frustrated ambition was directed at me. I slept boxing, ate boxing, and lived boxing. At night after supper, he'd tell me stories about the great men of the ring. Ah, they were giants in those days.
Prophet Simmons, Jack Johnson, Jess Willard, Jack Dempsey. Didn't I ever tell you about the time Johnson fought Jeffries?
Yep.
Well, sir, Johnson was winning. He was too fast for Jeff. Old Jeff was putting up a terrific battle, but he didn't have a chance. Corbett was Jeff's second. He kept yelling at fight.
So?
Here I am, Bob.
How's the time now?
Plenty of time, dear. Plenty. Just relax.
Sweet Sue. I remember how clever I thought I was when I first called her that. It was right after the high school graduation ceremonies. We were all at a party at Billy Kane's house. Sue was there with Parker Smith. They were dancing. Mind if I cut in, Smitty? Thanks.
Bob, I didn't know you were coming here tonight.
Well, I didn't either.
I'm glad you changed your mind.
Me too. Let's go over this way.
Where are we going?
Out in the garden.
Why?
I want to count the stars.
But I'm here with Smitty.
Oh, he'll understand.
Oh, it's lovely tonight.
Yeah, lovely.
Please, Bob, you said you were going to count the stars.
Okay. That one's Venus, and that's the Big Dipper, and right up above us is the North Star.
Where?
Up there, look.
Is that... Oh, Bob.
I love you, Sue.
I love you too, Bob.
Sue. Sweet Sue. I'll always remember the night I told her I was leaving. We'd driven over to Lake Cedar. The music from the dance pavilion came to us across the water.
Bob.
What?
Do you want to leave?
There's no choice, Sue. I fought all the boys here. The big timers are in Chicago.
But what about Indiana U?
That'll have to wait.
But, Bob, you're not the type. To get where you want to go, you'd have to be, well, a killer.
Gene Tunney wasn't a killer. Look, Sue, I'm fast. They can't hurt me, nobody.
Maybe not, but you've said yourself, Bob, that every time a new champion is made, another champion is finished.
Look, Sue, the only time a champion is finished is when he forgets to duck. And I never forget.
But someday you... Oh, Bob, stay and finish college.
I can't. It's just not my road.
You mean it's not your father's road?
Oh, maybe so, but I've got to get on top.
That means more to you than us?
Right now? Yes. You understand, don't you?
I understand.
You'll wait for me?
Yes, Bob. I'll wait.
So?
Yes, dear.
Now?
There's still time.
Okay. I went to Chicago. I began to hit the headlines. Before long, I was out of the prelim class. Then came the main events. Now that I was on the track, I sent for Sue. I was driving her from the station in my new car.
what a beautiful car.
You know me, I always wanted a cream-colored convertible.
But how can you afford it?
Oh, it only cost a couple of grand.
That's a lot.
Not in this racket.
I guess not.
Now we can get married in style.
Yes, we can.
Hey, wait a minute. You don't sound very happy about this.
Bob, I want you more than anything in the world. But I want you without strings.
Strings?
Yes, strings. Like laces on boxing gloves. Bob, why don't you give up fighting?
But I can't give up now.
Then I'm afraid I can't do what you asked me either.
What are you talking about?
I can't marry you unless you quit the ring.
Oh, now, Sue, wait a minute. Think it over.
I already have, Bob. I've done a lot of thinking, and that's the way it has to be.
Now, look, Sue, listen to me. I've got my most important fight next week. Chuck White. Chuck's a tough guy. He knows all the answers and all the questions. But if I win, I'm headed for the big time.
I see.
I got a deal for you. If I lose to Chuck, I'll quit. If I win, well, it won't be so tough being married to the champ. I fought that fight with Chuck over and over and over. I dreamed of it every night. Every blow, every move was started and blocked 100 times, right up to the last second. Until finally it was time. Sue.
Yes, Bob.
Isn't it time?
Just relax.
Oh, it seems like it's getting late. Let me see your watch. Hey, it's 10:30.
Don't get excited.
I gotta get in the ring. The fight's gonna start.
Bob, please, the fight isn't going to start.
Well look now, we made a deal, remember? I promised I'd quit if I lost to Chuck. But the way I feel now, I've got a hunch you're gonna be Mrs. Champ.
But Bob, listen.
Listen, my eye. I gotta get in that ring. Where's my manager?
Bob, you don't understand. The fight's over. You were knocked out.
Out.
Yes, half an hour ago. I'm sorry, Bob.
But I... Come here, Sue. Sue. Sweet Sue.
Oh, Bob. What are you laughing at, Bob?
You. You always said I'd forget to duck.
Knockout. Thanks a million for being with us. And now Hal Gibney, front and center.
Reporting, Dottie. And if you hear any sound effects, it's opportunity knocking.
Opportunity?
Yes. You see, Dottie, the young men of America are face to face with the greatest opportunity that ever came down the pike. That's the Army Education Program. And briefly, it means that today, a young high school graduate can sign up for a 3, 4, or 5-year enlistment and continue his education, both culturally and technically, and get paid for it at the same time. Gee, fellas, think of that. And there's this angle, too. Right now, the Army is conducting schools in the USA, in Europe, Japan, Hawaii, Alaska, and Puerto Rico. That means you have a good chance of completing your education abroad, an advantage that the average student could never afford. You are sent over transportation free, meals free, clothes free, and you get a nice paycheck every month on top of all that.
Well, what are some of the courses, Hal?
Well, that's a good question, and I'll answer it this way. The United States Armed Forces Institute has a slogan, which is, what would you like to learn? The Institute offers 189 self-teaching courses and 149 correspondence courses, as well as classroom instruction. In addition to subjects on the college and high school level, the Institute includes many vocational courses. 11 of America's leading educators help direct this program. Apart from the Institute, the infantry, artillery, and armored cavalry have some mighty fine technical schools of their own, where a young man can learn to be a specialist in such exciting fields as diesel motors, meteorology, radar, radio, and that's just a few from a long list.
Yes, Hal. More than 75,000 GIs of the Far East Command are going to classes and studying these days. Gee, I think any parent should be proud to have a son in today's new regular Army.
Right, Dottie. Fellas, talk the whole thing over with your Army recruiting officer tomorrow.
It's called, I Wish I Didn't Love You So.
didn't love you so. My love for you should have faded long ago.
Each Sunday at this time by the United States Army in cooperation with the National Broadcasting Company. This program is written by Bill Dansch with special material by Norman Paul and is produced and directed by Glenn Hall Taylor. Dorothy L'Amour, front and center.
Well, that just about does it. Next week, we'll all be here again. Our special guests will be Eddie Bracken and Lionel Barrymore. Until then, for Alan Young, Van Johnson, Henry Russell and his orchestra, the crew chiefs, and Hal Gibney, this is Dorothy L'Amour wishing you good night and good luck. Until we meet again, I salute you.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.